The Red Sox held on to win their first game of their final homestand of 2022 with a 4-3 win over the Tampa Bay Rays at Fenway Park.
You are Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Monday. No, happy Tuesday. Tuesdays are my Monday. So happy Tuesday. Welcome to the Locked On Red Sox podcast. Thank you for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every single day. I am your host, Nessens Lauren Willand, flying solo today. Jake and I, we've been kind of switching off lately. I've been battling a cold. If you can hear that in my voice, I'm sorry. But he's been really killing it for me, and I'm very grateful. But today we are going to chat about the 4-3 win. And we're going to look at Matt Barnes and just how good he's been since the All-Star break and just kind of since he's come off the IL and just kind of reinvented himself. And this is the Matt Barnes that we've needed to see for a long time. And of course, we have to talk about Rich Hill and if he should come back next year, if the Red Sox should bring him back on a one-year deal, or maybe he said he wanted to pitch half the season. We'll talk about that in segment two. But the Red Sox, after getting swept by the Blue Jays over the weekend, kicked off the final homestand of 2022 with a win. It's been a long season. We're at the finish line here. It's just been a very long season for a number of reasons for Red Sox fans, but here we are, and we should want it to end on a high note, and the Red Sox took those first steps in doing that on Monday in front of their home crowd. The offense only needed two strong innings to really push past the Rays in a game that Tampa Bay clearly had their eyes on the postseason. And listen, these games mean nothing to the Rays at this point. They're going to the postseason. They just kind of need to sleepwalk through these next three games and just focus on their next opponent and trying to get to the World Series. So, even though that maybe they're not giving 100%, you still want the Red Sox to win. But despite watching Rich Hill give up a pair of mammoth home runs, I mean, these things were gone in an instant, the Red Sox fans were treated to a game where the Red Sox looked much better than the 86 win Rays. So that was a very good thing to see. The offense, where they were able to string together 8 hits, 4 runs. That's all they needed. And that's all they needed to beat the Rays. And even though the Red Sox were shut down by Tyler Glasnow, he was pulled after only 3 2/3 innings, but the Red Sox jumped all over Kevin Hergret. And he has the worst ERA among any pitcher who made appearances for the Rays this season. So if there was any pitcher to take advantage of, it was him, and the Red Sox did that. And the Tampa Bay batters, man, they pretty much swung at everything. There was, like I said, 2 home runs, but they combined for 8 strikeouts and only 4 hits on the night. They were swinging at pretty much everything that came their way. Then there was Rafael Devers on the Red Sox side. He had a perfect night at the plate. He went 3 for 3, had a double and a sacrifice fly, and that sacrifice fly ended up giving Boston the lead. So that was really the difference maker for Devers and the Red Sox. So that was really good to see Devers. He spoke with reporters just saying he's very unhappy with the season he's had. He thinks he can do better. He knows he can do better between his hamstring injury that he's dealt with and just not feeling like he's been the best version of himself. I think that's finishing 3 for 3 is great. And if he's motivated to be even better next season, that's a good step, because we've been told, we've heard that the Red Sox will be much better in 2023. And a very healthy Rafael Devers will certainly contribute to that. Christian Arroyo also was strong at the plate. He had an RBI double in the 6th inning, and that kind of put the wheels in motion for the Red Sox and their comeback. He finished 1 for 4 with a pair of RBI. So that was good to see as well. It's just fun to see these guys contribute, even though there's nothing on the line. You obviously want to see the Rafael Devers, the Xander Bogaerts, who did not play Monday, but is in the lineup for Tuesday, which is good news. You want to see everyone just contribute, whether you know they're coming back or not. And Matt Barnes was a big part of this contribution on Monday night. He is fantastic lately. He has a 1.66 ERA in 23 appearances since coming off the IL. He's also 5 for 6 when it comes to save opportunities. So you look at those numbers now, and you look at those numbers from the second half of 2021 into the first half of 2022. And we've talked a lot about Matt Barnes on this show. We've talked about how awful he's looked, how he it's a priority for him to get right because he was nearly unhittable last season at the beginning of 2021. And now that he fell into that weird slump after last year's All-Star game, never could really get out of his own way. And maybe he's finally fixed whatever was wrong with him. He did have the shoulder inflammation. Alex Cora said he was trying to do too much, just trying to too much in his own head. And he was trying to make fixes that weren't really necessary. So maybe he's fixed everything and kind of gone back to normal. And if that's the case, that is great news going into next year because maybe he can take back that closer role. Yes, there's always going to be bumps in the road. No one is perfect at their job. No one's a perfect pitcher. No one is going to do their job 100% perfect every single day. But if you can get a 1.66 ERA Matt Barnes for most of 2023, you might have solved your closer problem for next season. Of course, there's still Garrett Whitlock to talk about in that position. There's Tanner Houck, but we can make all those speculations in the offseason here on Locked On Red Sox. But a big part of this win, besides Rafael Devers, Matt Barnes, Christian Arroyo, is Rich Hill. He went six innings. He allowed 3 runs, 3 hits. He struck out 6. He did get the no decision, but it was a really great way to end his season, potentially his career in Boston. He is here on a 1-year deal, but it was really good. I think he didn't throw more than 17 pitches in any given inning. He threw 80 pitches on the night. He was just really efficient. And we've seen that from him, Mr. Rich Hill, who doesn't want the pitch clock because he doesn't want to be hurried through his outing. And then Rich Hill, who was yelling at players last week to get in the box, don't be calling time when I'm ready to throw the ball. But so it was just very good to see and a very optimistic end to a season that just has not been kind to the Red Sox. But going into our second segment of the Locked On Red Sox podcast, we are not done talking about Rich Hill. We're going to dive into his emotional comments after Monday's game, Alex Cora's comments as well. And we're going to talk about whether the Red Sox should keep Rich Hill around for next year, part of next year, something in between. We'll get to that as soon as I tell you about Bet Online, because Bet Online is your number one source for football betting info this season. You can find all the latest player developments, team matchups, news, podcasts, and in-depth articles and analysis on every game you can find right at betonline.net. And as always, BetOnline remains your continued source for all your sport wagering info with live betting, up-to-the-minute scores for every single sport out there. It is the fastest and the easiest way to check in on all of your favorite games and events, including MLB, that will include the upcoming postseason. Maybe as Red Sox fans, we won't have to really have emotional investment into the postseason. You can also check out odds for MMA and boxing and even golf. Head on over to betonline.net or use your mobile device to learn more. That's BetOnline, where the starts. So Rich Hill, he is the man of the hour, the main character, if you will. So the big question about Rich Hill is, should the Red Sox bring him back? He's expressed interest in not only playing for Boston next year, but returning to MLB. He will be 43 next year. And it's amazing what he's doing at the age of 42. He's still been efficient. Has he been perfect this year? No, but like we said in segment one, no one is going to be perfect at their job. But after the game, Alex Cora just had so much praise for Rich Hill, and understandably so. He was, like I said, he was efficient. He worked quick. He was not throwing a lot of pitches, and he wanted to end his season on a high note. And that's exactly what he did. And Alex Cora said, he can pitch. It's simple. He can pitch. He's very important inside that clubhouse, the way he goes about it. Obviously, everybody knows his story. He's relentless in everything he does. He's a guy, when you sit down with him, it's a nice conversation. He's very intense. He starts talking and he closes his eyes and he goes wherever he goes. We've had some great conversations this season. He did an outstanding job for us this year. And he did. He was reliable in a season that was just riddled with unreliability. Like I said, he wasn't perfect, but he gave the Red Sox a chance to win most nights he was on the mound, especially in the second half. I don't know what he did in the second half of the season, but he did look like a different kind of pitcher, a very effective pitcher, and one that I wasn't too nervous about going on the mound. nine times out of 10. And Rich Hill understandably was emotional after the game because he doesn't know if he's going to come back to the Red Sox. He said, "This has been such a great clubhouse. That's what makes it such a difficult ending to this season. It just speaks to the character of the guys that are in this clubhouse. This is obviously a place that it would be nice. It would be nice to come back. It would be great to come back and compete for a championship." So we know the narrative going into next season. Chaim Bloom supposedly told Kike Hernandez that he promised this team would be better in 2023. Alex Cora said he'd be willing to bet that this team would be better in 2023. So that makes me believe that there are already conversations being had internally about making this team more competitive, more fun, better to watch, putting a better product on the field than we saw in 2022. Because it was not fun this year. It was ugly. It was very ugly at times. I think June was the most fun we had this season because after that, it was just a hodgepodge of injuries, COVID, more injuries. It was just ugly. So with Hill on that one-year contract, obviously he's made his final start. His season is over and it makes you wonder, should the Red Sox bring him back? And I say this with no ill intent and no ill will toward Rich Hill. I say no right off the bat because there are bigger priorities in the offseason that the Red Sox need to figure out. First thing on the docket should be re-signing Xander Bogaerts, making sure that he does not go somewhere else in the offseason. That needs to be your number one priority. And your number two priority needs to be your bullpen. That bullpen is a disaster and a half, and it's just filled with guys that you're just like, either who is this person? Why is this person in? Not this person again. That's like the three kind of main things. And then just Matt Barnes and Matt Strom where you're like, okay, things aren't so bad. But I love Rich Hill. I love his story. Obviously, he's a local guy. But I just think where the Red Sox want to be next year, they should really put their focus on truly bettering this team. Does Rich Hill make a team better? Yes, I think at the end of the day, he does, because he does have a big veteran presence. You know, he's been around for a while, but the Red Sox are on thin ice. Well, I shouldn't say the Red Sox are on thin ice. I feel like Chaim Bloom, the front office, they're on thin ice with Red Sox fans because they want a better team in 2023, and they deserve a better team in 2023, especially after this mess of 2022. And Rich Hill has made comments about maybe wanting to pitch half a season in the second half of the year. Maybe if the Red Sox are in contention and maybe could add a depth piece in the bullpen, okay, I'll think about it. But I think once you get your priorities done, you re-sign Xander Bogaerts, you fix that bullpen, and you go out and get another starter, a solid starter for the rotation, and then maybe you can start kind of adding pieces here and there. Maybe that's a Rich Hill. Maybe that's a depth outfielder. We don't really know. And now that Tommy Pham's option is $6 million more than the original $6 million reported, so it's a $12 million option, it makes you wonder if the Red Sox are either going to try to get him cheaper or just go out on the market and get someone else for a bit cheaper. And you also need to address the leadoff situation here. It's been a mess since Mookie was traded, and I think we definitely saw that coming. But the Red Sox just have way too many bigger priorities and bigger fish to fry for 2023 than thinking about bringing back Rich Hill right now. So right now I'm saying no, but if you can get Xander Bogaerts, you fix that bullpen, you get another starter, okay, let's talk about maybe where he fits in this team, if at all. But I don't think Rich Hill should be a priority for the Red Sox in 2023. I love the longevity of his career. I love his, like I said, love his story, love Rich Hill. I just think the Red Sox need to put their focus somewhere else in the offseason. And if they can get all that sorted out, then give Rich Hill a call and see what's happening. We have one more segment here on the Locked On Red Sox podcast. As always, we're going to end this show on the Mental Health Minute. So as I mentioned in the intro, I have been battling this cold. It's not COVID, just a regular old cold. The weather is getting colder. We have to turn on the heat. I think we turned on the heat yesterday for the first time. It was cold here in Boston, but I just needed to shout out my husband because he just didn't fail to take care of me. And yes, through sickness and in health and blah, 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 and I get sick if the wind blows the wrong way. I have a very weak immune system. I constantly get strep throat, ear infections, bronchitis, you name it. I've probably had it. unless it's COVID, knock on wood. I have not had COVID. And I was pretty much useless for the last few days. I had to work a lot. Thankfully, I'm in a position that I can work remote on days I don't feel well. So I was able to do that. But just to have my husband step up and just be like, I got you. I'll do whatever you need. Yes, I was supposed to do X, Y, Z, but I'll do it. Don't worry. I got you. And then Jake for handling the podcast for the last few days. Teamwork makes the dream work. And it was just a nice reminder that, like, listen to your body, take a break, because you don't have to push yourself when you're not feeling 100%. I'm not Xander Bogaerts here. I'm not trying to earn myself a giant contract, long-term contract with the Boston Red Sox. So I don't need to play if I'm not 100%. And even though I'm still not 100%, I'm probably like 80, 85. I have much more in my tank than I did for the last like 72 hours. And it was also a good excuse for me to just rest and lay low. I think I have a problem, like I said, listening to my body and just trying to figure out when to give myself a break. And I'm finally doing that. And I did it the last few days. I was able to kind of prioritize what was important to me. Obviously, outside of work, that comes first when I am on the clock. But just being able to take a smaller break for my body and just rest and kind of recharge and reset that social battery, the mental battery, the health battery, the most important battery. But the good news is that Jake and I will be back together soon. I know I told you that we'd be back Monday, but I completely blanked that I was working pretty much all day Sunday. With all Boston sports coming in back at full force as the Red Sox are getting phased out, it becomes a bit more hectic. But just shout out to my husband, Derek. He is one great man. And a big shout out to Jake. Like I said, we have a lot of fun content coming for you in the off season. We have some interviews coming, just a very fun off season planned for a very kind of lame 2022 season. I don't know if lame is the right word, but excited to bring you more content and exciting content and hopefully bring you some exciting news in the off season. It does figure to be a busy off season one way or another. So we're going to hit the ground running and we're not going to miss a beat because we love it here on Locked On Red Sox and we couldn't do it without you. Thank you for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every single day. Please rate, review, and subscribe to Locked On Red Sox right here on YouTube, Apple, Spotify. Wherever you get your podcasts is where you can find us. Follow us on Twitter at @LO_Red Sox, Jake at Jake Iggy, and me at @LaLaLaLauren, three laws, Lauren with 4 R's. Be sure to check out all the other shows across the Locked On Network. Locked On Yankees, Locked On Phillies, they're going to the postseason for the first time since 2011, so they are very excited over there. Be sure to check out those. Everyone does such a great job here at Locked On, bringing you your baseball content Monday through Friday. And now that you've made Locked On Red Sox your first listen, head on over to Locked On MLB to make it listen number two. Paul Francis Sullivan, just call him Sully, brings you his unique perspective of Major Leaguers both past and present, using his humor, using his insight, using his knowledge. It is a must listen. You can download it for free on the Odyssey app. You can find it here on YouTube. Just be sure to check out Locked On MLB. We will see you tomorrow. Let's win this series. Let's have the Red Sox, like I said, end this season on a positive note. We will see you on Wednesday. Until then, have a great day. And as always, let's go Red Sox.